I'm going to invite you to pull out your pew Bible this morning. And there is a list of Bible verses, but I'm not going to read all of them to you this morning. But I'm going to read two of them to you. There we go. This is the last sermon in this series. And this morning, my faith is a hot mess. What does it look like? What do we do to regain that in our lives? And so I'm going to give you three key areas that you're going to be able to work through in your life this morning to deal with this area that you might be struggling in. And so I'm going to invite you first to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. And I'm going to read the verse out of Acts. The other ones will pick up in the message, the ones from Colossians and James and John as I go through this morning. I'm going to encourage you to keep your Bible open this morning, because I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to reference a few key words in there this morning, and we're going to talk about our faith when it pertains to being in a hot mess. And so we're going to see a story here this morning of what a hot mess looks like and what's going on there, okay? So this is the Pharisees, and this is Jesus speaking here, and here's what he says. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Okay, so we get an idea of what's going on here with these individuals that are praying out in public to try to proclaim their faith. Now turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. You know that the book of Acts is the early church. It's coming up off the ground here. And in this message as well, this is just before this is the giving of the Holy Spirit. And so they're filled with the Spirit of God, and then this is what they experience in their lives. Now, I want you to follow along to what's going on here. This is a church service that they're gathering for, and what's going on in their daily lives. This is how they're worshiping and gathering as the people of God. "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people." That's what it looked like. So we're going to break that down here this morning and get into that. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you bless your word today unto us, Lord, your people, your children. And I pray, Lord, that you fill us with your Spirit, that we may receive your word. May you open our hearts, minds, and souls to just to receive that teaching that we need. And Lord, may you speak to us in different ways today for what we need in our lives. Lord, I pray too that these words are yours and never mine. Lord, and may you fill me with that same Spirit today, in whom I pray, amen. I have a question for you this morning about your spiritual life. Have any of you found yourself in a spiritual desert where God was just silent to you, where you felt that maybe he was distant or far away or not speaking to you, or you can read the scripture and it seems dry and your spiritual life just seems to be far from God? Have you ever experienced that in your life? And I think that if I was to ask you the question this morning, which I just did, that most of you would say, yes, I've been there. But let me also tell you that if you've never been there, I probably will say, almost guarantee that you might be there at some point in your life. And I had that experience in my personal life just before my call into ministry. For 2 years, I had to figure out who I was, what God wanted me to do, where he wanted me to go, and so on. And he gave me just enough for that day. I didn't know what I was supposed to do tomorrow. I had quit farming with my dad, and I went to work for this small company in Hall, Iowa called New Tech to get some space to figure out who God was. I was searching, and I was praying, and I was reading different books and reading scripture and trying to figure out, who is this God that I'm following? What does he want of me from my life? 2 years I was in the desert. And I refer to it, often Dory and I would have conversations. It was like I was put on the shelf. Patiently wait for what God's going to reveal to me in my life, not knowing when this would end. 2 years, my faith seemed like it was a hot mess, a spiritual desert. So if you think about it, we would all agree in our lives that our priorities should be about God. God desires our faith to be at the top of the list of all the things that we have to do in this world. And I think most of you would agree with me. So today we're going to spend some time talking about how to gain or maybe regain intimacy with Christ once again, to draw closer to Him in our lives. And maybe you're in that desert place this morning, and maybe you're really close to God and you're on fire. Right? And so no matter where you find yourself this morning, I think that you'll learn some things here that you will want to draw closer to God in your daily life. And so I want to begin with a question. And it's a little bit of a tricky question, but I'll help explain it to you this morning. And here's my question for you that I'm going to give you. What has been your what, and what has been your why? All right? Now let me explain that to you this morning so you understand it better. What have I been doing, and why am I doing them when it pertains to my spiritual life? What have I been doing as far as worship? What have I been doing as far as devotions or prayer time or scripture or being in the community of God, attending church, whatever it might be? And then the question becomes, why am I doing them in my life? The what and the why. Those are the two things that I want you to think about when I start to reveal to you these three things that I'm going to talk about this morning. The what and the why. Because those two questions, if you can start to answer those two things, they are going to reveal some things about your spiritual life. And every one of you will answer that in a different way this morning. I don't expect any of you to be in the same place. The what and the why. So let's dig in. Here is the first practical step when your faith is a hot mess. Don't be a religious box checker. All right? Let me explain that to you this morning. Come with purpose. Come to church expecting to learn something new. Come to church to be changed. Go to the scriptures to learn something new. Let the Spirit talk to you. Come with purpose to these types of things in your life. Come with purpose to attend worship. Come with purpose to be changed by Jesus. The Bible makes it clear that when this time that we spend doing things matter to God. Come with purpose. When you come to prayer time in your home, whenever that is, maybe it's in the morning for you, maybe it's in the evening before you go to bed, maybe it's around the dinner table, but come with purpose to meet God, to pray. When you crack open your Bible and you're expecting to hear from God, come with purpose to hear His Word. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you understanding in your life of what He's trying to tell you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 if you have your Bibles with you. I have it on the screen as well, but I love it when you open the Word of God and you see what's going on there. I'm going to grab mine because I need to read as well, even though it's on the screen. Matthew chapter 6, I want you to just listen to me as I read this to you again. If you have your personal Bibles with you, you can underline this and write in this and take some notes and stuff like that. But this is a sermon that Jesus is preaching. And I want you to see one thing that He talks about, and it's so obvious. So follow along as I read this. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Underline that word in your Bible. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. And the, you see, they stand on the street corners, they proclaim their prayers, they want to be seen as being religious in their lives. Right? By the way, that's all the fluff I'm going to read this morning in there. But I want to understand what is Jesus getting at here for you and I today? Because back then, some 2,000 years ago, he's pointing to the Pharisees who were all about the rules and the religious things that were going on, and they weren't about the why. They knew the what, right? Praise God, worship God, give my time to God, be in Scripture, follow the rules. But they missed the why. They missed the why. So we know that the target for Jesus is the Pharisees. This is a group of people that thought they were elite. They were better than others in the way that they lived their lives. They were, get this, box checkers. So I'm wondering this morning, how many of us are box checkers in our lives? Jesus says they were hypocrites. Why? They had the right what? You and I have the right what, right? We sit here this morning in church before God. But they had the wrong why. So have you been doing all the right things with the wrong motive in your life? So let's talk about the box checkers. Maybe it looks like this. Maybe you come to church and you gather here and you check off the box, went to church this week. Maybe you make an appearance at church events and maybe activities and you go to Sunday school and check the box, right? Because my mom and dad said I had to go. Make an appearance to be religious. And if you live that kind of a lifestyle, I'm going to tell you right now, it is physically draining. It is hard work, isn't it? Don't answer this question for me this morning, but I want to know, in your life, how many of you, when you get up on a Sunday morning, you're just excited to go to church, to hear the Word of God, to be changed forever? Now, I'm going to be real with you. When I was a kid growing up, that was the last thing I looked forward to. Mom and Dad drug me to church. I didn't want to go. Sit through that hour service, try to stay awake, especially as a teenager. I sat next to my dad, who's here, by the way, this morning, and he would put his hand on my knee like this. And whenever my head would go like that, or worse yet, he might go like this. Oh, yeah. Right? Right? And see, the problem was, is this, people, is that I didn't come with a purpose. I didn't come to church with a purpose. I didn't come to church expecting that Jesus is going to change my life. I didn't come to church realizing that the Word of God could speak to me right where I'm at in my life. See, I was just a box checker. So I'm wondering about your life. If your faith is a hot mess today, and you're struggling, and you're not finding purpose, and it's hard, maybe you're a box checker. You're not coming with purpose in your life. And so it's important for us to ask those questions today. What are our motives when we gather here for worship? When you go to Sunday school? When you crack your Bible open? What are you looking for? That's what the question is. See, that's what Jesus wanted to share with us when he read Matthew chapter 6 and he's preaching to the hypocrites. Don't be a box checker. So So do you come to church? Do you read your Bible? Do you spend time in prayer to be more like Jesus? That's your purpose. That's why you'd come to church here on Sunday morning. And I pray that if you don't have that, that you figure out how to get there. Come with purpose. Here's the second step I want to share with you this morning. When you face a hot mess, and this is so important, this next thing I'm going to give you, and it will speak to you in a grateful way, but you got to have the Spirit of God revealing this in your heart to be able to understand Scripture, because the Word will actually come to life and I jump off to you on the page of the Bible, and here's what it is. Read the Bible for transformation. Expect it to change your life if you decide you're going to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ. Expect to be a different person from the maybe when you started reading the Scripture and you gave life to Christ. As you grow in your faith, right? We call that sanctification in the church today, being more like Jesus. Read the Bible for transformation. And how, in the Reformed Church, we always have a slogan, Reformed and Reforming, meaning that we don't understand everything, but we're working at being more like Jesus. And as we go, we become more like Jesus because every day we draw closer to Him and we understand Him more. There's no way that you can fully understand who Jesus is, the Lord, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, without understanding and being in His presence one day. You can't read your Bible enough to understand who the Almighty is. But I guarantee you will grow and you will learn in this world when you're in that Word. Right here it is, by the way. The Word of God. I want to share a message, a Bible verse with you. I think it's on the screen. Colossians 3:16 is in the red box this morning. Because when we do this, it'll change the way you live your life when you read the Bible. Here's what Colossians 3:16 says. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Notice what the first line says. Let the message of Christ dwell among you. And the Bible is filled with the message of Christ. And Paul says, more or less like this. Allow this book to saturate your life. Let it make up everything you do. May it affect your work. May it affect your family. May it affect your entertainment. May it affect the things you do outside of your job, whatever it is. Let it saturate you. Let people see that saturation. Share that with your neighbors and friends. Let it transform your lives. And here's the key that I want you to get. If you want to really experience real transformation, it needs to move from head knowledge to heart knowledge. Right? We have some people in here, and I get this. They know their Bible so well. But you know what? It doesn't matter how good you know your Bible if it doesn't affect the way that you live. You could have it memorized. But if you don't do what it says, it makes no difference. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. You know your Bible so well. You try to make it look so good. But it hasn't changed you inside. You need to let the Word of the Lord dwell in your hearts. This is why, I got another Bible verse here, I think. James 1 verse 22 says this. Do not merely listen to the word so deceive yourselves. Do what it says is what it means. It's straightforward. I can't say anything better than that, right? So maybe you've come here today and you know your Bible well. And I'm grateful that you know your Bible well. But do you know Him personally? In your heart? Has it changed the way that you live your life? And I know a lot of your stories. And I know some of your hearts. And God's been doing some great things in some of your lives. I don't know all of you, but I know a lot of you. And my encouragement as a pastor is to allow God to continue to change your heart to the day that He calls you home, whenever that is in your life. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God every day. Because you can experience that transformative power from day to day. And it changes people's lives. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And so have you. So are you doing what the verse says? Right? Do what it says. That's pretty simple and straightforward. So let me move to another verse. And I think I got this one on the screen as well for you this morning. Acts 2, verse 46 and 47a means the first half of that verse. But here's what it says. Now I want you to notice some key things here. How often do they meet, and what do they do when they meet? All right? So let's read. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Now, you're going to be floored when I ask you this question, but you're going to get the answer, and you're going to think, wow, how often do they go to church? How often? Every day they went to church. Did you know that when the church of Acts, and this is coming out of that, when that church started, they gathered every day for church. Now, how many of you are Catholic in here or have Catholic background here this morning? I know there's a few of you out there. You can find Catholic churches today that still have Mass how often? Every day. Guess what church came out of the Acts church here in the New Testament? And what church was the first church per se that started back in AD, whatever, 50, 100, and then it started to grow? What church, what was the mainline denomination that everybody was a part of before the Reformation? The Catholic Church, right? There was one church, and then the Reformation happened, and we got all these different descents of Reformed and Lutheran and Methodist. But here's the point I want to make to you. They went to church every day. How often do you go? Do you see how often they were in the presence of God, in the Word of God, worshiping together, singing songs, and then go further. Look what it says. And they broke bread in their homes and they ate together. What does that mean? They shared meals together. They lived in community. They invited their neighbors over. They'd invited that family that sits next to them in the pew that they don't know much about. Hey, come for dinner to our house. We want to get to know you more. When's the last time you've had somebody like that around your kitchen table? Community. You know, we got this great new tool called the internet, right? And we got this camera sitting in the back of church, and I can speak to those that are at home right now, that are watching us online. How many of you watch online services throughout the week of different churches, different pastors, and stuff like that? I do, right? But I want to speak to you. You're here this morning, and I'm grateful for that. But here's the point that Jesus is making. When you're sitting at home and you're watching strictly online, you're not in community. And I'm not saying that to offend my online audience that's listening this morning. But you're missing the point of what church is. Because God says, I want you in the body. And being in the body means that you're breaking bread together, you're sitting around the table together, you're worshiping together, you're spending time together, you know each other's lives. And you're sitting at home on your couch watching TV on the big screen of church, you miss the whole point. The local church is God's plan A. That might seem kind of harsh this morning, especially if you're sitting at home. God says, I want you in the building. You're part of the family. How many of you enjoy it when you're, some of you have adult children, and you have, they're married, you got grandkids, but how many of you love it on a Sunday afternoon when your kids come home for dinner? Or maybe it's Sunday night, maybe it's on a Friday, whatever. How many of you enjoy that? Yeah, Quinn's with us this morning, and I'm happy he's home. He goes back again tonight. But get this, Jesus wants you around his table once a week here at church. He loves it when you come home. He wants to see you. He wants you to be in the body of Christ. Because he knows that when you do that, you become more like him. When you sit at home on your couch and you watch online TV and that's your only community, you don't change much. Can God work through that? Most definitely. But he calls you to be a part of the local church, week in and week out. Now, I asked you a question this morning. How often did they go to church? And you said, every day. So how important do you think it is that you get to church once a week? Yep. Sometimes you might show up once a month. And then I wonder, as a pastor, how do you even stay connected to God when you're not in the family? When there's other things that are more important to your life that you think than worshiping or following God. And I worry about that. Because when summer comes, everything seems to be more important than church. And you might go to church somewhere else, you know, and I'm okay with that and I'm fine with that. But here's my point. I'm not being shameful here. I just want to know, are you staying connected to God day in and day out? Because they went to church every day. If I was to ask you, would you show up for church tomorrow morning if I was here to preach, would you come? I might see a handful of you. Right? So ask yourself the what and the why when it comes to that question. Where am I at in my faith journey? Is it a hot mess? All right. Let's get to the third one. We still got to have communion yet today. Here's something most important that you can do. Tell your story of what Christ has done in your life. He has done amazing things in your lives. I know some of your stories. You know my story of Christ and how I arrived here on this pulpit and what he's done in my life. That's such a powerful thing that you can do. So if your faith's a hot mess and you're like, man, I cannot get it together, then share with someone your story of what God is doing in your life, all right? Now, if you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, man, I don't have a story, go back to number two where it says, read the Bible for transformation. But tell your story. I got a Bible example I want to give you today about telling your story. It's on the screen, John 9, verse 25. So there's a blind man on the street, and Jesus walks up to him, and he heals him. He can see again. And here's the story in John 9, verse 25. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. Meaning he's talking about Jesus, this blind man is. One thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. See, that's the story. He's starting to tell everybody about, this is what Jesus did in my life. And guess what? When you do that, it's not only good for your faith, but it's good for my faith. And it's good for your faith to hear those stories of how God changes people's lives, because it gets contagious, doesn't it? We heard the story of a young lady this morning that said, I'm ready to follow Jesus. There are a few other young people in this congregation this morning that are right there with her. God is doing amazing things in young people's lives. Last week, how many were in church last week? You don't have to raise your hand, all right? What happened here with this line of people? What did they do? They told you their story of how God affected their lives for that 1 week at Rocky Mountain High. And some of them are changed forever. Amen? Tell your story. And tell it often to whoever you meet. That's quite something. Maybe it looks like having dinner with somebody. Maybe it looks like you're having a cup of coffee with somebody to meet them. Who knows where God will cross paths, where he's going to say, hey, tell your story. Hey, tell your story. It might be at a football game this fall. It might be on vacation somewhere and you're up with the water slide and somebody's behind you. Who knows where God will say, tell your story about how God changed your life. Tell your story. So let me wrap up with this morning. Wherever you're in your faith walk, and you're all in different places, and however you feel, God knows exactly where you are. And let me say this to you this morning. That is not a bad place to be, wherever you find yourself, because that's where you are. God's filled with love and grace and compassion and mercy for his people. And all he says, come back. I love you. Come sit at my table. I love you. Come be in my presence. I love you. Because when you do that, you can get rid of the hot mess in your life within your faith, and you'll find refreshment, you'll find healing, and you're going to find hope in your life. Re-engage with Jesus today. And if you're not there in your life, give your life to Christ. That's my prayer for you today. Know that he's alive, and he changes people's lives in a great way. Christ is Lord. Rejoice today. I say it again, rejoice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for your word. Lord, may we not be box checkers. May we be drawn, Lord, that we tell our story. Lord, we see you at work within our community. Lord, you call us to be part of the church. You call us to be part of your life, and you want to live within us. May we allow you to come into all areas of our life. May we be changed in ways that we would never expect. Lord, it's by your grace alone that we are able to do this. May you bless us, Lord. May you meet us where you're at and where we are at in our faith journey. We know that you're right here today. In our presence, you hear our voices, you can read our minds. Lord, you know exactly what we're going through. So Lord, may you do something new in us this week. Something we never expected. That we can see you in action and in work in our lives. Bless us today. In Jesus I pray. Amen.